This episode of Worst Ever Podcast is brought to you by ModCloth. Whatever the season, ModCloth's got you covered. Snag a new swimsuit for that summer getaway or a cute cardi for those first signs of fall. ModCloth's signature line of apparel comes in a full size range from XXS to 4X, so it's never been easier to find your perfect fit. Need a little outfit advice? Just reach out to their amazing team of mod stylists for free sizing, fit, and styling help. Go to ModCloth, ModCloth.com and enter promo code WEP, that's for Worst Ever Podcast, at checkout to get 30% off your order of $100 or more. Snag your next style obsession at ModCloth. I love ModCloth. I have some pants from ModCloth that, by the way, are glow in the dark. That's right. They're really cool. I got them from my friend for my birthday, and they're leggings. And they're actually like the planets, but if you put like a
I know those pants.
I love those pants. They're my favorite. I wear them to like every Girls Gone Wild weekend. Because you need to be able to be seen at night, you know, to have some kind of glow reflectors of the planet of the planets on your legs.
Exactly. I mean,
you've got to. Anyway, I'll post a picture of my ModCloth pants.
Did you wear them during the eclipse?
I should have. That was a real fail. That was a real fail on my part. God. All right. Well, the next one, next 100 years, I will definitely pull them out because they were perfect for
that. All
right.
Well, you should get me something from ModCloth with that discount code for Christmas.
How about your birthday?
I was hoping you're going to say that, but I hope you remembered.
Oh, God. Welcome to Worst Ever Podcast. This week on the podcast, we have my husband, Brandon Bro. You're going to love this episode.
Is it Brandon Bro or Brandon Bro?
No, it's Bro. Everyone always, it's spelled B-R-E-A-U-L-T. I know that's a lot of vowels altogether, but everyone thinks it's Briault or Block or something, but it's actually Bro. No, it's not Brolt. It's Bro. It's like B-R-O. We just have to tell people when we go to have reservations or like go to the Cheesecake Factory and they're like, what's your name? I say bro, B-R-O. Just write it down that way because you'll never get
it
the other way.
Did you hyphenate?
No, I didn't hyphenate. I kept all my names. My driver's license is like, it's probably like yours. It's like 45 very long names.
Got it.
Yeah. I have to.
Did your baby take his name?
Oh, yeah. My baby's a bro. Okay. She's a bro child. Yep. And I call her by her whole name sometimes, especially when I'm really trying to get her attention. All right. Anyway, enjoy the podcast, everyone. The worst moments of our life.
Hey, girl. Hey, that's bad.
So speaking of like worst ever experiences.
That is the worst ever.
I don't feel so good.
And that was my worst audition ever.
How bad can it be?
And we feel the pain is best or funny. Welcome to Worst Ever Podcast.
Welcome to Worst Ever Podcast. It is a full house here, guys.
It is. I'm your host, Christine Lake.
I'm your host, Ala Khaled.
And today on the podcast, we have one of my favorite people in this entire world.
And one of my, like, 12th favorite people.
He's my best friend and also happens to be my husband.
He's not my best friend and he's not my husband.
Well, I'm sorry for you.
Okay, whatever.
He's also the father to our daughter, my husband, Brandon Bro.
Also known as Baby Daddy.
Baby Hello. Daddy.
Baby Daddy here. Hello.
Brandon and I met, should I date us? Nearly 10 years ago in a theater company here in LA.
Do you remember your first date?
Yes. gosh, where did we go? Downtown? I think we went to some kind of sausage restaurant downtown. I was really into that time. There were a lot of like pop-up restaurants coming up in LA, and I was like really into finding all of them, so I'd go to like Skid Row because I'm like, no, they just apparently have the best sausages here.
God.
And it was just like, oh, okay, where are we going? So nothing is around, it looks like you're gonna get killed, and all of a sudden you turn a corner and there's some like pop-up, you know, hipster sausage restaurant. So anyway.
Brandon, did you pay?
I don't know if I did. I may have tried.
Brandon, do you
know that
the first date?
I boars meat that night, which is not
she did
my
not
thing.
Like
Oh, God.
Yep.
George is here, too, by the way, so you'll probably hear her a few times during this pod.
Let me ask you, how do you guys focus with all the dogs and the babies and stuff in these things?
I'm literally miming to Christine, going, like, cut it out, fix it, but in mime, because it drives me crazy.
Yeah, well, there's a baby. She's trying to get into Steven's equipment right now. She thinks it's very, it's like she has a million toys, but all she wants to do is play with Steven's equipment because it's shiny and it has knobs. And, you know, and then the dogs just follow her around because they're trying to get whatever scraps. They're like vulture dogs. They see some kind of Cheerio. They see any kind of, you know, cheese falling out of a mouth, and they just circle around her and wait until it drops. So,
anyways,
that's our life.
That's what Brandon has walked into. All right, so you guys met in like 10 years ago.
Yeah, I think it was probably more like 8. But anyway, we met in, it was 10, but we didn't really get, I saw Brandon in a play called Valet that he and my friend at the time, Matt Morgan, were doing at this little theater in LA, and I thought it was really funny, and I thought he was really funny. And it wasn't until a couple years later that he joined our theater company, and we did a couple shows together, and I choreographed him in a show, and then we were in a show together. But we were both in other relationships, so we were just friends. Although I always thought he was very talented and very cute. But it wasn't until after we both had really bad breakups that we then like started dating a few months later.
And you guys, Brennan, you grew up in where? Ohio?
I grew up in Wisconsin. Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
This border town called Hudson, Wisconsin, right on the St. Croix River, which is part of the Mississippi River, higher end of the Mississippi River.
So you're like a lumberjack kind of guy.
I am a lumberjack. Yep. A lumbersexual, did you say?
Do you know what that is?
Not really.
So this is one of the reasons I also love my husband. He doesn't care about things like pop culture or what's happening in terms of like pop culture. He cares about news and sports and real life things. He's a very normal person.
Well, speaking of sports, are you a Packers fan?
No. Vikings fan.
Oh.
Please don't mention that word in this house.
Really?
Uh-huh. Yeah. So every year is a bit of a tough blow for us. So far.
Not this year. It's going to be a good year.
It's going to be all different.
I have a hell of a team.
And what was the thing that attracted you to Christine, Brandon?
Well, it was her personality, really. She was she would walk in a room and she would just kind of light everything up. She was very bubbly and happy and fun to be around. And things have changed, obviously.
I haven't seen that yet.
Shut up, Allah.
No, because the first time I met Brandon, actually had a conversation with him, we didn't get along at first.
Right.
Okay, because the first time I saw him, he's walking across Christine's house in a towel.
No.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes, and it was after an end of a long-term relationship with Christine. I was pretty protective of Christine. I'm like, who the fuck is this guy? Right? And I'm like, who is that? And I was like, he's in a towel walking across.
That does not sound like me. I'm very modest.
That was you. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's correct.
What did you think?
So I was like, okay, who's this douchebag? Right? God. Because I was just like, it's too soon.
for towels.
Yeah. So anyways, but then we got to know each other, and then I was invited to your destination wedding.
Yeah.
Which pissed me off.
It was not my choice to have you there, by the way.
I know that. So you know. Oh, I know. But I made it fun.
Because
I hung out with your mom, even though your mom can't stand me. I love you, Barbara. I know. We have a love-hate relationship. But I hung out with your parents the most, I think, because they were more fun. So it was a really fun wedding. The only thing that annoyed me about your wedding was it was a destination that wasn't a destination. In other words, so it was about 2.5 hours away from Los Angeles,
yeah,
but not long enough so that like you could justify a hotel room, but you had to get a hotel room because you knew you were going to be partying, so you couldn't Uber back. So it got costly for us guests, and I was pissed off because I was like, why am I spending money on a hotel room when it's only 2.5 hours away? And it's in wine country, which, by the way, not much to do. The only thing that was nearby was Solvang.
Let me tell you something.
There was nothing but Danishes strudel.
Here's what our feelings were about this wine country excursion. Had we gone to Napa? Do you realize how much more expensive that would have been? Sure, maybe in your mind you're thinking this is a better destination, but FYI, hotels in Napa are at least 3 times as much, and you have to take a plane there or you have to drive for like 9 hours.
Okay, that, I'm not saying Napa. How about like someplace like Palm Springs? Or, you know,
Palm Springs is a better destination.
Well, there's
than wine
more
country.
To do. There's casinos. There was casinos at your place. Yeah.
Gross.
Chumash, right?
Yeah,
isn't
Chumash. Come
up
on.
There?
Did we talk about that with Kelly?
Yeah, but there was weird. They don't. So at that casino in Napa, in whatever, Solvang or whatever. Excuse me, I'm busy. And her daughter is really annoying me. George, I love you. The thing about the casino that was at your destination wedding was they didn't serve booze there.
Okay, well, what are you doing all day in a casino? Why don't you just go to, like, you just post up at a bar anyway, so why does it matter where this stupid bar is?
Saying.
They don't serve booze at Chumash?
No.
They don't want...
It's dry.
It's dry. It's a dry... It's a
God.
Stupid casino.
What's the point?
Like,
I don't know what the point of that
is. Yeah, it's not going to get me to stay at the casino.
No.
But I did have fun. Your wedding was a little bit of a shit show. In the sense of after the wedding, there was so much going on.
Well, there were a lot of things happening. There were some people trying to hook up with some people. I enjoyed that, actually. I was happy that people were making love connections and eating hot dogs and
well, you got mad at your like one of your bridesmaids because of the dress situation or something. She was ranting and raving at the bar.
She was very upset at the hotel room from what I remember when we got back to the hotel room.
Why don't you recap that for us, Brandon?
Well, you know, she wasn't very upset. She was disappointed because she wanted to be at the after party and she had this,
when you get married, you have your wedding dress, right? And then you have this vision in your head of like,
I'm rarely going to talk, and
I'm going to change, and then I'm going to wear this other cute thing. And my bridesmaids had forgotten it at our rental house, which was far away, and so there was no way to get it. But by that point, honestly, I was pretty drunk. So I was like, I can't believe they forgot the dress. Ah! And then I was like, all right, I'm going to put on my jeans and this tank top, and like, let's go to the bar. Like, then I was over it.
I didn't think you had shoes, though.
I had shoes. I was literally wearing like flip-flops.
Right.
Which, you know what? At the end of the day, it was probably better because there were three other brides at that damn cowboy bar. And, you know, let's be honest, I would have upstaged them. I'm kidding. But I realized they were wearing their like wedding dresses in that bar, and that couldn't have been comfortable.
No.
That bar was gross. Like the bottom was like frat sludge by the end of the night. It was just like beer and all kinds of fluids. It was nasty. I'm going to tell you what I want to talk about.
What?
Uh-oh.
The other greatest day of my life, the day my daughter was born.
I was there.
Yes,
unfortunately, you were.
I remember that.
Why don't we talk about that?
Okay.
So my water kind of breaks, and I was admitted a little early. I was a week early. And
well, kind of breaks. It was leaking.
And God, that's a terrible
trickle.
Visual.
It was trickling. Is that
it
better?
Was a trickle.
Was a
she
trickle.
Had a vagina trickle from
yeah.
her
trickle?
Small little
water.
Trickle.
Trickle, trickle.
Yeah. It wasn't a fecal trickle, which is good.
Oh,
yeah, that
Brandon.
Been worse.
No, it was a clear trickle, right?
Clear trickle.
It was a clear trickle. Yeah.
Clear trickle.
Yeah. Anyway, so...
Amphitheater.
So we get admitted. Brandon's, you know, there. He's like, oh, we didn't think we were going to be getting admitted that day. I thought I was going to go home and labor for a while, and it wouldn't be till a day or two later. Anyway, we have to go straight in. I'm kind of upset because I'm like, oh, no, they're going to put me on a timeline now. And I know that the time for me to have this baby, the clock has started to tick. So,
and let me just interrupt you real quick. Christine also wants to do a full natural childbirth experience.
Yeah, my goal... I took the classes with Brandon. We went for 8 weeks. My goal was to do this as naturally as I could. That was the goal. It doesn't matter what happens, but that was what I originally wanted to do. So we check in and I start getting these texts from Allah. And he's like, what's happening? And I'm telling him that I'm, you know, I've been checked in. And he's like, oh, okay. Well, I just have to do a couple things. Then I'm on my way. And I'm like, No,
she writes back. She writes back, okay, funny, and like a ha-ha, you know, thinking that I'm joking.
Yes, I did. And then I was like, what are you, and he's like, no, seriously, so which hospital are you at? I'm like, well, Providence, but you don't need to come. Nothing's happened. I'm not even contracting. And he's like, yeah, no worries. He's like, I'll be there in like 20. And I'm like, I don't.
So she calls me. And
I don't think you're going to get into the hospital.
Yeah, she called me.
I did not put you on a list.
So she's like, don't come. I was joking. You know, I thought you were joking. I go, no, I'm not joking. I've done this before. I will be there. I'll be there in like 20 minutes. I'm on my way.
Just invites himself basically
by the way,
into my vagina.
She knows her doctor who's going to deliver through me.
True.
Very nice man.
Right.
Very skilled.
Very skilled.
So I'm like, I'm on my way. She's like, you're not going to get in.
Yeah, there's no way. I did not put you on a list. And, you know, I just, you know, this is, I'm thinking to myself, like, Brandon and I have not discussed having visitors into the birth room.
That doesn't bother me.
Yeah, apparently not. So about, no lie, about 25 minutes later, this guy walks in the room with a full-on visitor badge and is like, oh, hey. I'm like, how the hell did you get in here?
Well, I went through the back part of the I went through the main entrance of the hospital.
And you've been to this hospital before. You've broken into births at this hospital
before. I know exactly where she's going to be. I have been to this hospital before. I know a back entrance so that you don't have to go through like a security check or whatever. Wow. So I went up to the desk. I said, where's Christine Lakin? Brolt.
Oh, God.
It's bro.
I know. I traded one last name that no one can seem to get right in this life
spelt
for
Brolt.
Another last name.
It's spelled bro, pronounced bro.
Who decided that?
The founders of the family. Well, family.
Some kind of Vikings way back when.
So
Vikings.
Anyways, I go to the nurse. I'm here to see Christine. Bro.
Yes.
And they were like, oh, she's in blah, blah, blah. And I go, great. I walk in and Christine looks at me and she's like, what the hell are you doing here? I go, she's like, how did you get in? I go, don't worry about it. I go, and now I know how hospitals work and I know how the nurses' stations work and I know how this birthing shit works. You have to make friends with the nursing staff. At the time, I'm also videoing a lot of Christine.
Well, at one point, Brandon had to go home and feed the dogs because we weren't prepared to be there all day. And he was going to go get the, you know, some more stuff and whatever.
And Brandon didn't mind leaving, let me tell you. He sort of ran out the door.
No. It was a quiet time. It was nice to get some fresh air, that's for sure.
Nothing was happening yet.
Right.
And,
until he left about 5 minutes after, she's standing up.
And I had told the nurses, like, they wanted to put me on, like, a monitor. So I could only get off the stupid heart monitor, like, once an hour for about 5 to 10 minutes and walk around. And anyone who's had a child or is... been through labor knows that you have to walk around sometimes to get these things going, these contractions and whatnot. So every, you know, 10, every 50 minutes, I'm like, get me off this thing. And I'm making Allah come around the hospital with me and he's taking video and I'm doing lunges. I'm doing like cardio bar moves.
We'll have to post these.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden the contractions start and I'm like, awesome. This is great. Okay. We're getting things moving. And I'm literally standing in my room, I think about to go back to my bed and he's videoing me and my water breaks.
Like on the floor. All of it like breaks. Splash.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh my God.
And I captured it.
He was very excited. We were all very excited.
Yeah. The father of the child is
feeding dogs.
Feeding dogs.
I missed it.
Missed it.
Yep.
Anyway, things start to progress and it got really intense quickly.
And I say to Christine, look.
Don't be a hero.
This is no joke. Like what you're about to experience is you're going to be, and Christine is a tiny little woman. She was all baby.
All baby.
And all huge baby.
Yeah.
Even though the baby was tiny. Like Christine said earlier, she's a foodie. So she ate her way through the pregnancy. So I was like, Christine, you need to find out when the last moment you can get the epidural because there's just, I just think.
Yeah. Well, and here's the other thing. You have to get, it takes an hour. You have to get an IV. So you have to know kind of in your mind when you're at your last threshold of pain, you still have another hour to go before you actually get that thing. So about 6 hours go on. And at one point, like, I'm just like in a different world. Moaning, groaning. It was intense.
There was noises that went like this. I have that on video too.
Brandon is massaging me. He's doing everything he can. At one point, he looks at Allah in the video and he's like, I don't know.
Yeah, we're laughing at each other. Going, this is crazy. She's out of her mind.
It was wild. You know, I at first was kind of like, since we had not discussed having somebody there, I was a little... unsure as to you coming.
You were annoyed, I'm sure.
I was a little annoyed. But I have to say, you turned out to be quite the savior in the situation because you did lighten the mood, which was needed.
Yes, and it got to the point where the nurses, it was shift change, and they didn't want to leave. Like, they had other patients there that were delivering.
That's true.
And they would not give up Christine, thanks to me, which is important because then you have to go through a whole new person.
Oh, yeah.
It's like starting over again.
Yeah, our girl came back to us, which was rad.
She was great.
But anyway, so I finally get the epidural, you know, and I'm like, oh, my God, relief for a little while. And then, like, it's like night and day. You go from being in the most intense pain of your life, and then all of a sudden you're like, hey, let's watch The Housewives. I mean, you just feel nothing. It's your legs are numb, and you're just having contractions, and you can't feel anything. Unfortunately, all of mine then stopped and stayed
that
way.
All of your what stopped?
Contractions.
Oh.
And then stayed that way throughout the night and into the next morning. And it was bad. They were all looking at me like, all right, well, that's it. You tried.
Yeah, we were talking C-section.
Yeah.
They came in and said, okay, if this doesn't happen in the next, what, hour, two hours even?
Pretty much.
We're going to have to prep you for surgery.
Yeah. And so I couldn't eat anything because that was always a consideration. So these two, but mostly Allah, is sitting there eating all my labor snacks.
Snacking.
They're like, went out to get
stressful.
He left
I was
and then
there
came
for
back.
Hours supporting you. I was starving.
Came back with like bagels and coffee the next morning. They're all eating. I can't even have ice chips. I am so parched. I'm just like looking at them drinking and I want to like kill someone.
You were doing the ice chip thing. I was feeding you ice chips.
She wouldn't even let me have those for a long time. Anyway, so then my doctor comes in. He's like, this is so weird. It's like your cervix is still closed, even though you've started to dilate. So, I mean, what Allah says is I had a lemon of a cervix, which is pretty much true.
She did.
So thank God for this doctor, though. He basically gave me one more chance. And... for lack of any kind of better terminology, pretty much put his hand up there and opened my cervix with his man hands.
It was a hell of a thing to see. He is a big man, too. I mean, and he was not holding back. He put all of his might into it.
He did.
I mean, he was shaking from the amount of pressure that he was applying.
Oh, you could hear the cervix crack.
Oh, God. But at that point, I mean, thank God for that epidural because I didn't feel anything.
He knew what he was doing.
Oh.
And then 6 hours later.
It. Well, hold on. In between. Now, this is Christine and Brandon's first. This is your first baby, right, Brandon?
Yes.
So this is Christine and Brandon's first baby.
As far
birdie.
As we know.
Yeah.
I would know.
And so Christine has a lot of friends that were wanting to be there. And of course, here's this asshole, me, who just pops in and they're like, why is he there?
He decides to be the text conduit.
So I started a group text with all our friends. I was like, give me a list of your friends and I'm going to do a group text. So I literally was videoing things as they happened and sending them to the group text. It was a full commentary of the labor of Christine Lakin Bro.
Thank you.
It's true. And you also set up a camera over her shoulder, from what I remember.
Because you have to have a GoPro.
I still can't watch that.
There was a lot going on.
I can't watch that footage.
So there was one moment, this is where it got bad.
Yeah.
And it was when she was about to deliver. Now, granted, Christine is a very athletic person. You were running that 6-mile race, I think, a couple weeks before. No,
but I was working. I was working. I was choreographing on the Goldbergs, and I was, you know,
doing lunges.
Doing lunges.
Yeah, she was
hiking.
Once she started pushing, she literally had the baby in 20 minutes.
Yes.
But when the baby came out, because I was in there and I was peeking through the curtain. When the baby
peeking?
Yeah, I saw everything, by the way.
Man,
when
the
baby
the
came out, I saw her neck wrapped with the umbilical cord and the baby was blue. And
it was bad.
I literally had to stop the videoing because I thought, oh God, this is not good.
Yeah.
My girlfriend came right before I started delivering. She had always said, if you ever want me to come take pictures during your birth, let me know. And about a week before, I said, you know what? I think I do want that. And not knowing that Allah was going to be in the room doing a full-on like text commentary, she had already decided to take my really nice camera, and I told her when I was going into labor that I would call her. So when this thing started happening, and it happened so quick, I was like, shit, we should call Dana. And I was already dilated to like an 8, and she was at dinner with her husband, and she's like, I'm leaving right now. Literally ran up the street, got the camera, got in the car, got to the hospital, just made it just in time. Now, at this point in the birth, my doctor tells me to stop pushing because he sees that the cord is wrapped twice around her neck. He cuts the cord off when she is halfway out. I don't know any of this.
No, I hear what's going on. He's screaming. Your doctor starts yelling. I don't know. You're probably in. I think
I was standing. I was holding a leg, her leg. I was standing right there.
I hear him say, get the NICU.
Get the NICU.
And I'm like, I know not good. Mm-hmm. And that's when I went and looked through the thing. And I heard him hand me, I don't know if they were like scissors or whatever. He's a hammy. And he's like screaming at the nurse, hand me this. And then he cuts that cord right away. Yeah. And then you hear the baby cry.
I'm like, I have like anxiety just like reliving this. Yeah. But then one of the nurses told my friend to stop taking pictures.
Yeah.
Because the baby was like, they put her on my chest for 2 seconds and she was like purple.
Yeah.
Blue. And then they took her straight off. She did not cry. They took her straight off.
No, I know.
And went and put her on the table. And the NICU team rushed in. And Brandon almost fainted.
That's correct.
Yeah, I had to take the oxygen and put it on because I was going to pass out. And it was overwhelming.
He's like stitching me up. So no one's around me. And I'm like, where's the baby? Where's the baby? What's happening? I mean, it was, oh my God, it was awful. It felt like hours. It was probably only 30 seconds, but it felt like an hour.
Yeah, so...
And then she cried, and then it was...
She cried, and she hasn't stopped talking since.
Hi, baby.
Birth is traumatic, man.
I know. This is my question for the two of you, because I had a conversation with Brandon when I first got here today, you know, before we started recording. Hey. I said, so are you ready for another one? He goes, oh, no. And I go, well, then you need to talk to your wife, because she's about to pull the goalie.
Huh? No, I'm not.
You said you wanted to have another one.
I did. That was a couple weeks ago. Okay. Now I feel a little differently.
Oh, really?
You were ready a couple weeks ago.
No,
huh?
I wasn't ready, but
you
we were talking.
You said like a week ago or a week or so ago that you're...
Well, yeah, eventually, not right now.
You're not getting any younger, Christine.
Thank you.
I'm just letting you know.
I understand. I know. I'm well aware of my age, and if I want another one, it's like got to be sooner than later. The thing is, I mean, we're in such a good place with her now. She's like...
We were just
seeing some 3-week-old twins the other week, and they are so...
Yeah, that's the noise that we were missing at birth.
Mm-hmm. They're so sweet, but I forget that like tiny baby stage, and I just... Ah, man, that was hard. I don't know. Going back to
the
newborn
stage is... Plus,
rough.
Brandon deserves a boy.
How do we, we're probably going to get 2 girls. How do you ensure that happens?
Well, at your age, anyways, you're probably going to go have to freeze some eggs. So you could probably pick out the sex.
I'm about 7 years younger than Christine, so I have time.
So
I'm saying, I would do the embryo thing and then you can choose whatever you want. That way you have them stocked up because...
Listen, if you want one of my babies, all you have to do is say...
Honey, I got sperm frozen already. I can have babies anytime I want.
Why did you freeze your sperm?
Because when I had testicular cancer, I had to freeze it. But I still ejaculate now, so I'm fine.
This is all too much information.
It took a turn there, didn't it?
Steven is not happy about that.
Well, I'm just saying. But I do have frozen sperm. For any of you listeners, I will auction them off.
Oh, my God. Steven, do you want to get in on that auction?
What's the starting bid?
Well, we'll see. I'm going to do it. We should do an auction because I'm willing to auction off my sperm.
$5 and a pack of Reese's Pieces is the starting auction.
And they're
going
to be Reese's
Cups. Reese's Pieces?
I don't like the pieces. I like the cups. So, Brandon, you're not ready for another baby?
No. At this point, no, I'm not. It's a lot of work. I love it. It's pretty awesome having a kid, but yeah, going through the newborn stage would just be kind of frightening right now.
Is it frightening because of Christine?
It's a lack of sleep. It's really comes down to sleep.
Because she makes you do the night shift?
No, she was pretty good about taking shifts. We figured it out where I would do a shift in the middle of the night so she could get a couple hours sleep. But this baby that we have here, she is, the first month she started sleeping through the night, so we can't really complain too
much. I was shocked to hear that. And she's still a great napper and sleeper.
Yeah, she slept 12 hours last night.
Well, what's great about her is that you, a lot of children, you have to fight to put them to bed. She, you go put her in the room, and she just sits there and hangs out. Knows it's bedtime.
Yep, she's ready.
Sits there, hangs out, and then she's like, night, bye.
Yep. I try to read her book sometimes, and she pretty much gives me the baby finger, and just I just put her down in her crib, and that's it.
So that's why I think that you should do another one.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Will you be there in the delivery room this
100%.
Time? 100%.
Yeah? If you would do it, though, listen, I don't want any baby's birth in the September month or end of August month because I have...
Competition?
Well, no. My Labor Day's already been ruined by two of my best friend's children that are born that weekend. So I'd like you to have the child around no holidays.
Oh, gosh. Okay. It's well, tricky. We'll really do our best.
And if you do a holiday, then make it like President's Day or something that's like really... You know what I mean?
Right, right.
I'm just saying.
But, there's probably, I mean...
But do your parents want you to have another child?
I mean, to be honest, I think they're pretty enthralled and infatuated with the one we already have. So they haven't really said either way.
I mean, and how about your parents, Brandon?
You know, they haven't... They're not pushing us to do anything. I think they would... I don't know that they care, really.
The thing is, I find so interesting... People, whether it's your family or just people you know. So you start dating someone, and then everyone's like, so when are you getting married? And then you're like, you finally get engaged. You're like, actually, we're getting married on this day. And in like the moment you get married, wedding. They're like, so when are you having a baby? And you're like, oh, Jesus, like, give me a moment. Then you have a baby. And then they're like, so when are you having another baby? God, let me get off the treadmill for a minute.
I understand that, but seriously, like... You have Georgia. You need a boy named Wisconsin.
We really do, nice. Don't we?
Scotty. We just call him Scotty.
Or Whisk.
Wisco.
Okay. I want to get back to some other topics while we have Brandon here. I want to know, just because I think pet peeves are really funny, mm-hmm. I want to know what Brandon's biggest pet peeves are about me.
I already know. Go ahead.
Really?
Seriously.
We all have them. Everyone has a pet peeve. Mine is a law.
Whatever. Go ahead.
Well, let's see here. This is tricky ground a little bit. I think one of my pet peeves is probably the hair in the drain.
Well, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, it's kind of
You're
gross.
You're disgusting.
Sorry.
She doesn't clean it.
I'm sorry. I do sometimes.
Which is weird because
she's
such a neat freak.
Honestly, when I get in the shower is like the place where I think. I don't know if other people do this, but it like I'm doing other things, but it's kind of where like things come to me or I get, you know, I get like ideas in the shower or I think through problems. And then by the time I get out, I'm just like, oh, I got to do that. I got to do that. And I got to do that. You know what I mean?
I have a solution for you. Put a whiteboard in the shower and dry erase, and you can write down your ideas. That's what I do.
You have a whiteboard in your shower?
Not in my current shower, but in most of the places I lived at, I'll get a whiteboard and put it in the shower.
That's amazing,
Steven. That's a really good idea.
That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
What
in my life.
What do you mean?
But it's so stressful to have all these ideas, like write down maybe a story thing, a couple emails to send, and you're like, then you have to run out of the shower to go.
And you're wet and it's slippery, yeah. And I usually have a child trying to get in the shower with me, so that's a whole other obstacle.
Another pet peeve I have.
Go ahead.
Is my wife likes to talk.
Okay.
A lot.
Okay.
And sometimes I find that I just have to sit and listen.
Forget it. I won't say anything for the rest of this podcast.
Well, hold on a second, because this is interesting. And the reason why I'm saying this, Brent, is because you came out here to be in the business, right? You're an
Correct.
Actor.
That's right.
And you're still, you know, doing stuff in the theater and television world.
Sure.
But then you went ahead and got finished your education and became a psychotherapist.
Yeah, I got it. Yep.
And so I'm just curious... If you were to have her in a session, not being your wife, how would you diagnose Christine? And be honest, wife aside.
Well, generally, I mean, there's not a diagnosis that I would necessarily give her because she's not really presenting with an issue that she's bothered with.
You don't think that she's obsessive compulsive?
No, I don't really.
Okay.
And look at this place.
Well, no, the kids stuff I get. But she's very, like, she's very...
Type A. I am organized and I'm a bit type A, yes.
Yes.
I mean, she definitely...
I'm obsessive compulsive.
All right, well, whatever. That's just my opinion.
Oh, God.
What other flaws did Christine have? This is only an hour podcast, so...
Yeah, I know. Better fit him in here. You know, she's pretty perfect in a lot of ways. Aww. I mean, I gotta be honest.
Well,
you know, she snores a little bit.
You snore?
I apparently have been snoring.
Yep. I'm doing some snoring.
God, I feel horrible.
Is it a light snore?
It's a light snore. It's like a half open mouth snore, but it's just enough
gross.
To keep the person next to you awake.
That's so disgusting. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it's not disgusting. I mean, a lot of people snore. It's nothing to be ashamed about. I mean, I have an earplug I put in and I transfer from ear to ear, depending on what side I'm sleeping on.
It's
a tricky situation because you don't want to build up resentment to your partner because they're snoring. So, I mean, we've actually had a discussion about this on how to treat that situation when it happens. And you said, well, just wake me up and tell me I'm snoring. And that's what I generally do. And she apologizes profusely. And then a couple minutes pass and she starts snoring again.
Is she anal retentive? Come on, Brandon. Quit trying to play nice guy here. She ain't going anywhere. She birthed the child.
She birthed the child. No, I mean, I don't know. Are you? What do you think, Christine? How
Am
does it make
anal
you feel?
Retentive? How is that different from obsessive compulsive?
Well, she gets angry for the littlest things if it's not done her way.
Well, that's semi-accurate.
How dare you?
Well, you do. You get very ornery when it's not done your way.
There's some truth to that, Christine, yes.
Like what? Example.
Okay, release form.
Oh my gosh, that was 3 years ago.
So we have like release forms that we have the actors sign for when we do our live show because, you know, they're telling their worst ever stories and we don't want after the fact saying...
I don't want you to use this.
I don't want you to use this, or you know.
So we'd have a general form.
And we've never had an issue with it, you know. And there was one day where Christine had to work on a show, and I had to run the show by myself, which is a beast to do by yourself.
Yes.
Because you're wrangling actors, you're doing all the production stuff with the PowerPoint.
You're in the basement of a Mexican restaurant.
You're in the basement of a Mexican you're restaurant. I've already had like four Hennessys.
Well, this is why I was
right.
so mad.
It's a lot going on. So I forgot to have the actors sign the release forms.
Uh-oh.
And I was screamed at, yelled at, after a successful show that I ran by myself, which she was a no-show to. And it was a great show, and I forgot to have the actress on a release form. She let me have it. So to this day, when I could see her getting angry, I said, don't give me that release form attitude right now.
Let me just, in my defense, tell you the other half of the story that you neglect to remember. I was up until probably 1 a.m. creating the PowerPoint for this so-called production on my computer. I also was the one to bring all the release forms to print.
And her daughter has the same attitude.
Losing it.
Yep.
Short
very
temper.
Frustrated. I would have to print all these materials. I would have to bring all of these materials to the theater, unload them from my car. So I'd already done such a huge portion of the work, and because you'd had like 14 scotches, you couldn't remember the one thing I'd asked you to do.
Anyways,
see
back
how
to
it's
you,
coming
Brandon.
Back to her body right now?
Yeah.
She thinks that she's actually in the same moment that she was then.
Yeah, physically she's standing
gosh,
up and
guys.
Using her arms.
She's getting very lively.
It's incompetence that drives
at the
me
wedding,
crazy.
Okay. I can only imagine, Brandon, and you tell me this. Prepping for this wedding must have been a disaster because she's such a control freak.
It's not true.
You
actually,
know, for the wedding, it was actually pretty smooth. We planned pretty far in advance.
Oh, I remember when she told me that she was doing her own flowers, and I said, I said, Christine, have you lost your effing mind?
Yeah. Okay, I did relinquish that task.
I go, you need to hire someone. She's like, no, I'm going to save so much money. And I'm going to do. I go, you're going to be in no position
to get married.
To do flowers the day of your wedding.
Not to mention that it was like 90 degrees that day. Had I done my own flowers, they all would have been wilted in the bottom of a pool.
Brandon, what do your parents think of Christine? By the way, just so you know, their daughter, Georgia, is pretty, I mean, in my eyes, is the spitting image of Barbara. Like, she gives me that same stink eye that Barbara gives me.
Well, she looks exactly like my husband, so it makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
My parents love Christine. They're crazy about her. I think if they had to choose between her or me, they would choose her.
All right, Christine, what are Brandon's flaws?
Ooh. Let's see. We'll say pet peeves. My husband really hates being around bad drivers, which there are a lot of
Around what?
Bad drivers and stupid drivers.
Dangerous.
I'm going to put a flag on the play.
Uh-oh.
Christine, most of our conversations are while you're driving in the car, and half the time you are screaming and cussing people out.
Really?
She is and have you ridden in the car with her?
Oh, yeah, I have.
You're an aggressive driver.
No, I am not.
You've changed.
No, I've changed.
You have changed.
I'm different now because I have a child in the car. Well, I am a different driver.
Okay, because you're calling the kettle black right now.
I'm not, though. You've never ridden the car with Brandon.
No, listen, I've changed because at the beginning of our relationship, I did have a problem in the car, but I've done a lot of work around that. And now I'm very calm. And the tables have turned a little bit because you do freak out sometimes.
Every time I'm on the phone.
Who asked me? I'm sorry. Asked me the question. Am I allowed to answer this question or not?
I have a little story here, and it pertains to this,
Brandon.
This subject. We're walking the dogs once.
Oh my God. She's pregnant.
Losing her mind. And sometimes Christine feels like she needs to be the police of the neighborhood. There's a Porsche speeding down the road. She literally jumps in the middle of the street and puts her arms up and starts shouting at him.
He was an asshole.
But what
are
you
pregnant?
Doing?
Yes.
What are you doing?
What are you going to do? Run over a pregnant lady, you asshole?
Well, have you seen the climate of the United States today?
Well, that
people
was 2 years
are
ago.
Like, oh, you think it's much different? You're out of your mind.
It pissed me off.
Look, I was losing my mind. Yes, I was losing my mind.
Yeah, Brandon, that's a good call.
Yeah, I was very angry. And we had a talk, and I said, listen, you cannot be doing
that again.
Yeah, can you imagine?
Oh, yeah, I can.
I mean, if you filed for separation today, I would totally understand.
Guys, oh, my God. Okay,
Is there a prenup, by the way? Is that a off the topic question? What? Is there a prenup?
Yeah, there's a prenup.
Okay. Good.
He has assets. I have assets. We want to protect both of these assets.
Was the prenup agreed upon in the sense of like who brought it up?
I think I brought it up, but it was brought to my attention by my lawyer.
Okay. Did you have hesitation, Brandon?
Not really. I get the dogs and the child.
I don't know if one of those things is actually
I only ask because I'm not really worried. I definitely believe this is for better or for worse, you know?
Yeah.
It's probably most of the time worse. But so I'm only asking that. I was just curious because I was like, huh. Because I think it's important to have that.
Well, I think, you know, it depends on what state you live in. Because every state has a different law when it comes to what is considered community property. And, you know, as my lawyer put it to me, if both people have assets or property or anything they had before the marriage, and those are things that you want to protect, a business or a house or whatever, family things, then if you don't have that in place and you don't set those things up, then anything is fair game. God forbid one person decides they don't love you anymore or they want to go be with someone else or whatever. Those are things you cannot predict. I don't think that we're ever going to need it.
I don't think you're going to need it either.
but from a legal standpoint, I understood it. It's not the most romantic thing in the world. No,
I think everyone does it now. It's like it's part of the course, I think, right?
I don't know what people do. I only know what
you
we
did.
Do. Yeah. Right.
Now, I forgot what I was going to ask because of the prenup, but I got really jolted by the prenup situation. I was like, if you guys would have seen their faces when I mentioned it, they're like both looking at each other like, and I'm just like, oh, I didn't realize it's such a big deal.
It's not really. I just
it's
don't.
Not.
It's personal information. Anyway, you were talking about things that you hate about me, right?
Yeah,
no.
Driving was your
I don't.
Your big
I really
pet
have very
peeve.
Few things I hate about my husband.
And you guys right now are. So we're in a rental house in lovely Burbank.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we love Burbank.
And there, I actually love this location because
it's great.
It's so convenient.
I love it too. It's hot as hell, but.
But you have a house that you have decided to remodel together, which
yes.
I think is a great thing for newlyweds because now it's Christine's house.
It's my house.
And
I lived there before, yeah.
Yeah, obviously you moved in. And
yes.
Now it's going to be a space that you both create.
Yes. And we are both making all the decisions from what the house is going to look like to what knob is going to be on that counter, you know, cabinet. I mean, it is
a lot of
stressful.
It's a lot of
stress. It's very stressful.
What are you disagreeing about in the remodel of the house? Yeah.
The master bathroom.
Why?
That has been the biggest bone of contention. Because
you want a dry erase board in there and he doesn't? what?
Now I do. Now, what do you think it's been, Brandon?
God, honestly, I feel like it's for the amount of work and brain power we've put into it. I think that it's been fairly smooth, to be honest with you. I feel we talk about things pretty openly.
No, we do. I think for me, the most stressful part of it is just getting all the pieces in place and figuring out what's going to be where. I know it sounds like, oh, but what fun that would be. But then you start looking at all these little things and you're like, oh, I like that. Oh, that is too rich for my blood.
How over budget are you?
I'd say the project is running about 20% over.
That's not bad. That's really not bad.
but that's considering that our initial bid was just for construction and didn't actually include a lot of our finishings.
Right.
So,
you know, and also depending on when you order and all that, the prices vary.
Yeah.
True.
And what's available. Because by the time you get to that point, designs have changed.
Yeah.
Right. What's your design aesthetic that's different than hers?
Well, Christine wanted most of the house to be white, and our child is coughing on water, everybody. It's only water.
I'm definitely calling CPS.
My child
She's
loves
okay.
water and wants to put her face in everything.
She's better
she
now.
Sees.
All right,
She's
go ahead.
Better.
Christine, you were saying
she wants everything to be very white and sterile, like a hospital.
No, I don't want it to be white and sterile, but I'm concerned sometimes about when you do certain colors or certain patterns, 5 years later it looks dated or trendy
right.
or so. You know, I'm always erring on the side of white. So I'm saying things like, oh, the interior doors and will all be painted white. And Brandon's like, are you sure? And I'm like, well, we're not going to have like red doors.
No, wood. I
wood,
like wood.
Like a wood.
It's beautiful. Wood is just so pretty to cover it up.
Also, he grew up in like...
Yeah, near the woods.
Near the woods. What else do you like that she doesn't?
Well, with regard to the house
yeah.
or anything?
I mean, like yours, first of all, what's your...
I would like to live in a log cabin. That would be my dream. I would just like to live in a log cabin somewhere. This house is not a log cabin. We are doing like a modern farmhouse type feel. So,
nice.
You know, we're able to put some different kind of farmhousey type things in there, whatever that means. But, you know, we haven't really argued too much, but we haven't got down to, you know, what color we're going to paint the walls or...
Any Did you hire a designer?
We have a gal who's helping us out with some design ideas. Yes. But we're ultimately picking what we think.
Do you
which is a hard thing to do. I mean, you look at a tile, just a single tile, and you have to try to imagine what it would look like in a space. It's just
there's
it's
so
hard.
Many there's so many like apps and stuff now where you can sort of like...
Is there really?
Yeah. I know there's like an app where you for walls and stuff. Like, say, once the house is pretty much close to being done,
yeah.
you can take a picture of this room and then paint the walls with the app.
That's
so you
amazing.
Can see what color, how the color is going to look.
Well, geez.
Oh my God, we have to get that.
Yeah,
there's like so many different apps that you can use for
yeah.
design stuff.
It's hard to you know, it's hard to visualize. Sometimes.
You just put the baby down.
Yeah, that's right.
It took you a second.
That's right.
Dream child.
Dream child. That's
Dream
why
child.
We'd have to have another
she,
one.
She started yawning, and
Did
I was
you...
like, oh, she's tired. And she literally reached for the crib, and she was like, bye.
Did you guys do additions to have another baby in the house?
Well, yes and no. I mean, you know, the house before this addition, it was tiny. It was 2 bedrooms, 1 1/4 bath. So eventually, if we'd had another baby, it would have felt really tight. And the fact of the matter is, in LA now, with the way house prices are, it's hard. We would have, if we had sold the house the way it was and tried to buy something else, even with like a 3-bedroom, we wouldn't have gotten our money out of that house. Because on paper, it was a 2 1 1/4. So, you know, it just wouldn't have looked, it, on paper, it's not a great sell.
Okay, so the addition, so you selling a house, obviously in LA, is going to be...
Yeah, I mean, it's hard because, you know, you want to get the most value out of what you have. And for us at that time, if we'd sold that house and then went and tried to buy somewhere else that was in the same school district that was close by, the house prices are just crazy. And at this point, I've had that house a really long time. And, you know, we were in a really good place with it financially. So it just made more sense to build on, add more value to the house. We'll live there. It's a great school district. There's so many things about it that are good for right now. And then whenever it is that we eventually decide to sell it, we'll have a lot more equity to get out of it.
Brandon, do you see yourself living here for the rest of your life?
My life? No, I don't really. I love Los Angeles. I think it's a great city. It's just a little too congested for me. And I really I want to be around water and lakes and big trees. I know there's the opportunity to drive to those things here.
Yeah, I was going to say, you go to the beach, it's yeah, like 30 minutes, and then you go to the mountains.
Yeah,
like
yeah, but you can't, it takes you 2 hours and a lot of like yelling in the car to get there.
What do you mean, you're yelling in the car
Well, Brandon is not yelling, but I can see he wants to yell, so then I'm get annoyed that he's like, see that he's getting upset.
See, and now this is what we need to talk about, because that's the work I've been doing. That's how I release it, by just doing little... Just a little upset, as
just
opposed
a
to a
upset.
Scream, but that's not even okay. Good enough for you, because you see me doing that and you still get angry with me sometimes.
It's anxiety inducing.
Well, how do you deal with that anxiety, Christine?
Take a Xanax.
Yeah, I need to start medicating.
Or
maybe
you could
microdosing on LSD. How about that?
You could practice a little mindfulness and just kind of breathe and be with yourself.
See, this is what happens now, because he's a therapist, so now he has all these tools.
Ugh,
so he just wants
so
to therapize
glad
me.
Glad that you guys got a prenup.
Shut up.
Well, listen, guys, you're gonna. The worst is over. You've had the baby. The wedding is done. The house is almost done.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's coming along.
You're done with school. You're
finished.
Now starting your practice.
That's right.
Yeah, I figure if you can, you know, rip the roof off your house, have a baby, and go to grad school, and me go back to work full time all in the matter of a year and a half and make it through, I think we're going to be okay.
And then she'll be pregnant.
Oh, God.
It's possible.
Is there an announcement you want to make right now, Christine, for
no,
the audience?
No announcements. I have my period.
Fantastic.
Isn't everybody excited about that? Now is actually the perfect time to bring up Lola, who's one of our sponsors this week. Lola is a female-founded company offering a line of organic cotton tampons, pads, and liners. They're amazing. They come in these simple, customizable subscription boxes. So the thing that's awesome about them, and especially for me, is that you can kind of pick what you need. You need like a couple supers, a couple regulars, a couple light days. You can totally customize your box, and it's subscription, so they just send it to your door. So, you know, it's like one of those things you don't want to have to think about that you need every month, and you don't have to think about it because it comes right to your door. My husband likes that.
I love Lola. I love it so much because I don't have to stand in line at the store and purchase tampons anymore, which is very nice for me.
Are you sure you don't want to do that?
Well, no, I don't, actually.
Okay, but the nice thing is it comes in a cute little box, shows up right at your doorstep, and for 60% off your first order, you can visit mylola.com, that's L-O-L-A, and enter promo code WORST. But, you know, Brandon had a whole life before me, BC, I like to call it, when he lived in New York.
I didn't know you lived in New York.
Yeah, 3 years. Exactly 3 years.
Where?
Exactly 3 years. I lived in Washington Heights.
Wow.
Up in the Heights.
With
I used
Matt
to work.
Morgan.
Yeah, with Matt Morgan.
What year?
2001 to 2004.
So that's when The Heights was sort of up and coming.
It was, yeah. I'd like to think that I kind of had something to do with that.
And was the A-Train working at that time?
Oh, the A-Train was the best.
Because there was a point where it was like on local service because they were so...
Really? No Express?
Yeah.
I loved it up there. I used to work in Fort Tryon Park at this cafe called New Leaf Cafe, which was actually owned by the New York Restoration Project, which was headed by Bette Midler at the time. So she used to come in from time to time and eat.
Did she flirt with you?
Fascinating. No, she didn't. I don't think she knew I even existed.
I know.
What a life.
I know. I can see why Christine married you.
You can? Tell me.
Because she's overpowering and you're such a calm individual.
It's boiling underneath.
And so had she found someone like type A like herself, not to say that you're not a, like you're in control in certain things, but I'd say about, she's more 60% in control. You're 40. I'm just, this is my observation.
Hey, you have your thing.
Had she married someone else that was more like her,
there'd be a lot of fighting.
Would be in full effect.
There'd be a lot of fighting.
Yeah.
Any stories from New York, from your old days?
Well, I used to know this homeless man named Dan. I used to, I don't know. Coming from a small town in Wisconsin, I was fascinated by the culture of New York and just the variety of people that you'd meet. And I knew this homeless guy, Dan, and I used to give him money all the time after my shifts because I was in my 20s and I didn't need a lot. And I had cash in my pocket from working in a restaurant. And I would sit and chat with him and I'd give him cash from time to time. And we started to build this kind of, you know, this nice relationship. And I remember one day he was trying to get $50, which is over the amount that I generally would give him. I'd usually give him $10 or whatever. But he said that he had to go to the doctor and he needed $50. So I was like, oh, okay. But to really sell the point, we were near this bodega and he went and he grabbed one of those plastic bags off of the things that you grab to put fruit in. And he says, follow me, Brandon. So I follow him and we walk down into an abandoned entrance to a subway. So I walk down in there. It's kind of dark.
Are you crazy?
Well, I know.
What was he going to do to me? I mean, honestly, it was...
Who knows?
Dan, he wouldn't have done anything to me. And if he would have, I'm pretty sure I could have stomped
Hulk?
Him out. No, I'm not the Hulk, but he could barely walk. So he puts the bag on my hand, and he asks me to feel lesions on his head.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was pretty intense. It was intense.
Is that to help get the money that he wanted?
I think it was.
Did it work?
Yeah, it worked.
You gave him $50?
I did, yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay, so for those of you who need cash...
Hey, you never know. He could... That man could
have you seen him since?
No, I haven't, because I moved shortly after. But the good point about this story is that Matt Morgan, who you guys know, who's a friend of ours, he lived in the neighborhood after I did, and he told me that Dan had cleaned himself up and was now selling books on the street corner.
Oh, poor Dan. Does he know about Kindle?
Well, this was years ago. This was years ago.
Okay. Yeah. Well, he's homeless again.
He may be. I wish him well wherever he is. We shared agape love, as he put it.
Oh, the agape. Coming soon, Kristen Hange.
Yeah.
That's really nice.
It is nice. So, yeah, there's other stories. I don't know if we have time to go into it.
We're going to have to do a New York episode where we just do all our New York
stories. All of our New York stuff?
Oh, I have so
many.
From
the year, oh, God.
I have so many New York stories.
There was another story I wanted you to tell, Brandon, and trying to remember. Hold on.
Have you ever shit your pants?
Oh, God.
No.
Christine has.
Oh, yes, she has.
So Brandon, I have. So Brandon, a couple years ago, I was actually pregnant at the time. So we did a movie together, and his other friend Brandon Morgan, wrote it and directed it. It's called Jimmy the Saint. It's going through festivals right now. You can see it somewhere
How
in
do
a
we
theater
find it?
near you, go to the Facebook page, Jimmy the Saint. You can find it. Anyway, he loves my husband, Brandon, and has cast him in several projects before and cast him in this role and ended up casting me alongside. So we got to work together. So my husband plays a Russian sort of heavy in this mob world. And I play the Russian madam and I run a brothel. Anyway, we have kind of a love-hate relationship. We're lovers, and then he kind of treats me like, you know, one of his many women, and it goes back and forth. And anyway, I destroy him in the end. So it's super fun, because one day I'm going to say, when George is being a bad girl, I'll be like, listen, you better clean up your act, or I'm going to make you watch the movie where Mommy Kills Daddy.
Wait, is this the role where you had to bulk up?
Yes.
This is, yes.
Because, like,
so
you
might... I want you to tell Allah what that process was like.
Я возьму тебя на ящи, мы можем говорить больше о своем будущем.
Okay.
That's pretty good, isn't it?
That's pretty good.
All I remember.
Do you know Putin?
No.
Because Trump
apparently
does.
They had a great talk today, the two of them. Yeah, so it was a pretty, he got me this guy named Johnny Kios, who we used to work together with.
Otherwise known as Johnny Winks.
Johnny Winks, we call him. And he used to be a professional bodybuilder, so he was able to come in and give me a program to do. He gave me the diet and the weightlifting program, and it was
hardly a diet because you're eating.
No, it was force feeding. I mean, I had to force feed myself. Yeah. I would wake up and I had to have 6 eggs, an apple, a piece of toast with peanut butter, and then a concoction of different smoothies and pills, not steroids, just so everybody knows.
Like supplements.
It was clean.
Supplements,
yeah. And then I would go to the gym for an hour and a half.
6 a.m.
Yep. And then I'd come home and I would eat a cup of cereal, and I'd have another shake. And then throughout the day, I had to eat 6 sweet potatoes, 2 pounds of meat, be it chicken or beef.
It's expensive.
Yeah.
It was very expensive. And luckily the production paid for it because we'd be
going to Costco like every week, and we would be bulking up on like
how long were
8
you doing
pounds
that?
Of organic beef.
3 months.
And what, from what weight to what weight?
I put on 30 pounds in 3 months.
And most of it muscle?
Yeah.
Yeah, most of it. Bulk.
It was,
I mean,
huge.
Do you have
bulk.
A before and after picture?
I do. I'll put it on the share. The before picture, I'm going to put our wedding photo, because he's so like thin and lean. Mm-hmm. He was like playing tennis and doing push-ups, which like did nothing to bulk, but it was all toning. And then the after of this diet, it's like 2 different people. People were like, holy shit, Lakin, your husband is huge.
It was
like,
really,
I know.
It was a dream. I mean, it was amazing to be able to do that. I mean, I always like putting my body through things for acting. It makes me feel like I'm investing more. But it was awesome to be able to have somebody who would give you a routine and pay for the food, and then all you have to do is work, you know?
See, I would just request a double.
Well, you're lazy.
Yeah, well,
you're a lazy actor.
But let me ask you a question. So, are you at the weight you started at now, or are you
no? It's
what,
been
are you trying to call him flabby now.
Been difficult taking it off. I just haven't, grad school, working. I mean, I probably lost maybe 15 pounds of it. I'm happy with my current weight, you know.
But when he does start to, like, if he ever has a couple of days where he decides to go to the gym and, like, pump again, it's all still muscle memory. So it's all there.
That's how mine is, too.
But I did wreck my body a bit, too, during the process.
Yeah.
Ruptured a disc in my back and messed my shoulder up as well. Almost had to have surgery on that.
Brandon played football in high school and college, and I think there's some old injuries that now are lingering. So when you try to work out like you did when you were 20,
right,
you know,
that's how I
it's
am
harder
too.
But case in point, we right before he started that whole diet, we ran a half marathon.
We've heard about it before, Christine.
And did I already tell this story?
Well, you didn't tell the story, but we've heard that you've run a half marathon.
I talk about.
Yeah, you did it with Beverly. You did it with, I mean, that's all you talk about is
fucking
half marathon.
Well, okay. I didn't run it. We were going to split it. So let's be clear. It was only going to be like, 6 miles a piece. So we're halving the half marathon, whatever.
Yeah, we know.
We did it for
always talk about this marathon.
We in Wine Country, your favorite place. So we trained for it for like 3 or 4 weeks, and literally we getting a house up in Wine Country. All these people are going. We're like going to do this together. And the day before the freaking race, Brandon like bends over to tie his shoe and throws his back out.
I couldn't move.
Did she yell at you?
Awful. No, I felt she terrible. Felt bad.
She did, really?
And she was semi-training. I mean, I was really training.
Excuse me?
I wanted it. I wanted to get a good time. I wanted to be fast.
My body couldn't take it.
You were...
Walk running and meandering around the neighborhood. I was doing my
part. With a glass of wine in your hand.
Pretty much. Okay, last story I'm going to tell. So...
Please.
You know, when you're in grad school and I you have a baby, there's just very little time to actually train or work out or do anything anymore. So when you get an opportunity to do it, sometimes as a parent, you think you're 20 and you kind of go for broke, and then it's a bad situation the next day. So this was right after, I think it was, we had just finished filming Hollywood Darlings. I think it was about to come out. Anyway, Beverly has a birthday party for her daughter and down at the Santa Monica Pier. And a couple of days prior, Brandon had gone and he had done one of these Johnny Winks workouts. He was like, I'm getting back in the gym and I'm going for broke. He had done so many calf raises that at this point he could not walk. He could not put his heels down on the ground. He was walking like a minotaur.
For 4 days. I honestly had to crawl to the bathroom. It was so stupid.
Full.
And Christine's parents are in town. I'm just like, felt so embarrassed and dumb.
We're at the Santa Monica Pier, and the only reason he could actually make it down is because we had a stroller, and he could like use it like a walker. It was so bad. I don't mean to laugh about it, but looking back, knowing that you're actually okay, at some point we thought you really had injured yourself.
I thought I had to go to the emergency room. We actually talked about it. I was like, I think I did something horribly wrong to my calves.
He was just sore. He couldn't move. He couldn't.
They were
like,
seized up. I mean, they were seized up like rocks.
That's the worst feeling too.
I'm sorry. Just the visual of him walking around like a minotaur and being like, I've ruined myself. I've ruined myself.
Well, you guys have ruined my life, so I want to end this.
We make each other laugh.
All right, thanks for coming, Brandon. And if I don't see you again because you've left your wife,
we'll see you at the next childbirth.
Exactly.
I'm sure.
Oh God, I hope not. That's one reason not to have a baby. See you in nine months.
Any announcements you want to make, Christine?
Not today.
Well, thank you guys for having me. It's been great being on here with you.
We'll have you anytime.
Thanks, you.
If ever Christine is not here, I'd love for you to fill in. I'm always looking for a new co-host.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that sounds good. I'm going to kill you. anywhere people can find you? On the social, or do you just you don't care?
You can find me on Facebook, Brandon Bro. The guy I have an Instagram, broshaka.com.
That's not .com.
That's not Instagram.
Okay. I clearly know nothing.
I tag him every now and then. He doesn't care.
Just tag
I got some artwork I'm trying to sell.
If anybody's
interested in that.
I have some sperm I'm auctioning off.
Look at that. Maybe we can put them together, a package deal.
Maybe you can art some sperm.
Ooh, that's a whole new genre.
Steven, any thoughts on that?
The bidding start out again.
Oh,
we don't know
God.
Yet.
All right. Well, thanks.
Yeah, there's nowhere to find me. If you want me, just find my wife, I guess. And
as always, I'm Christine Lakin at Yo Lakin on all social media.
I'm Alec Khaled at Alec Led.
Oh, I want to say one thing real quick. It is Ringo Starr's birthday today, and he wanted everybody to say peace and love at some point. So you guys want to do that right now?
You're a Howard Stern fan. Yes.
You ready?
Yeah.
Peace and love. Peace and love.
Did you see that
video of him saying no more fan mail?
No, I didn't.
Oh, you can do what? Peace and love.
And Steven,
peace and love.
You can find Steven.
At Steven Ray Morris.
Thanks so much for listening, guys. If you want to comment or ask a question or love us or hate us, email us at worsteverpodcast@gmail.com. Okay, well, before Brandon plays us out, I just want to say thank you again to Paleo Secret, who is another sponsor.
I need to thank them first.
Oh, Christine, okay.
Because I started it, and I don't know if you've noticed. Look at me.
Wow. Okay.
I know. I can feel it.
You know, we're FaceTiming right now.
I'm not weighing myself, but I can tell by my pants.
Well, you can always tell by the clothes that it works. That's what's great about this. It's a lifestyle choice. It's not just a
Correct.
Diet, people. So if you want to feel better, if you want to burn off your stored fat, if you want to improve your digestion, reduce your allergies, stabilize your blood sugars, get better sleep, have better skin, Like, I am really feeling like my skin is looking really good. Reduce your inflammation and balance your energy throughout the day. You've got to try this thing, guys. It's thepaleosecret.com/worst. And for a limited time, they're giving all of our listeners 50% off the entire health transformation. If you've ever wanted to get your health under control, I highly recommend this. You're going to feel amazing. Amazing. You're going to get all free bonuses as well as an access to their private Facebook group, which starts at $13.50. Alaa loves a private Facebook group. He likes to really like just people. Get in there. He likes the people. So stop dieting and start a wellness transformation.
Recipes.
Yeah, you got a couple good ones, actually. I'm always surprised at your cooking skills.
Correct.
Okay, Brandon, you want to play us out?
Yeah, sure. I'll noodle something.
Is this something that you've written? Just something you're going to make up on the fly?
I think I'm just going to make it up on the fly. I'm going to noodle.
You're so talented.
Am I?